Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel, Rigel in the building.
What up, everybody? This is Montoy X, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. Back to have another dynamic conversation with the family. And, you know, at Collective Minds, our motto is we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. And we plan to have an interesting conversation this evening. We do have a special guest joining us as well here in a second. But before we get started, y'all, how was the week? And do y'all have any announcements for us?
Announcing another fantastic week. Just busy. Hope everybody had a great week as well. But no announcements. Let's keep it moving.
All right. Well, y'all, my week went cool too. One of my announcements is, if y'all didn't know, you know, we did a show about Nipsey Hussle last week, and I was shocked to find out that one of the brothers who got shot with him was a brother who just got out of prison, and he just did 25 years in the pen, and the police locked him up because he was, you know, there at the scene with Nipsey. So his brother paralyzed in the wheelchair, but now they didn't lock him up, talking about, you know, he was, I guess, you know, a felon involved in gang activity, and his brother was a victim. So I don't know if y'all heard about that, but the ignorance continues with how they do our people.
Man, I heard about that, but when I first heard it, it didn't hit me the same way you just broke it down. I was kind of looking at the guy a little sideways.
Oh, you was looking at him?
Paralyzed. I looked at him as part of the potential conspiracy. You know, him along with the guy that did it, and you know, so that's how I looked at it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I was looking like that too. Like I said, I guess until I found out the brother paralyzed, and also they locking him back up. But yeah, I don't know. It's a lot more to this story that meets the eye, and it's still gonna be more to come out in the following months.
Absolutely.
Fake news.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Sister Roger, check Brother Kev's line. I think he got cut off.
Fake news.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely was looking at the young man a little sideways for a minute, but I don't know. Even still now, I don't know, because this is the first time hearing that he's paralyzed. The fact that he was getting locked up, that didn't really faze me too much, you know, but, you know, him being paralyzed, that do make me look at it a little differently.
Right, right. That's what I was going to say. I mean, the brother, I don't think he was part of the whole thing because he was locked up. I think if he was part of it, I don't think him getting shot would have been part of the deal. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to set my brother up, but shoot me and paralyze me so I can set my brother up. So, you know, that's just my take on it. But, yeah, I think that's foul because
I mean, not to get too wild and crazy because our thoughts and imaginations can run rapid and wild. But that him being paralyzed could have just been a mere accident. It might never have been planned for him to be paralyzed either. Just throwing that out there.
It was the other thing, from what I heard, I believe, unless I heard him wrong, I think he said he just happened to been coming through because Nipsey told him he was going to give him some clothes, you know, because he had just been out a couple of months.
Exactly.
And he was, you know, he was still down. So,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And it wasn't even,
some clothes.
Right, it wasn't even a planned thing. It was like, you know, he had seen him and, yeah, it wasn't even no planned thing. So, I don't think, you know, that he's involved in
it. It was planned.
Right, no, I'm saying
but
not
I,
the shooting.
Wayne
the shooting was planned, but what I'm... Right. What I'm saying is I don't think this brother in particular is a suspect from the information that I have.
He wasn't
a
suspect.
Oh, the police either.
Yeah, exactly. Or, he was lying.
Be just based on that he was locked up?
Well, not just that alone, but he was involved. He's part of the story. It ain't just that got out that wasn't part of the story.
Sound like we're going to be debating over this one.
Okay, wait.
Right.
Let's not go into it. We'll let it go.
But one more other thing, you know, speaking on the Nipsey thing, they did have the memorial Thursday, which is a beautiful ceremony. You know, if y'all didn't get to see it, I would suggest, you know, they should have replays on YouTube. Go check it out. They had the Minister Farrakhan speaking. Stevie Wonder sung. They had Snoop Dogg speak. A lot of other celebrities. His family, his wife, his mate, Lauren London spoke. His kid spoke. And I don't know if y'all missed this, but his son got up and spoke. And, you know, the young man was kind of nervous, and he said that Nipsey came to him in a dream, and, you know, he told him everything was okay, and he told him how, quote-unquote, heaven was, you know. So I thought that was interesting as far as the spirit world, how things work. And by this young man being a child, you know, they can still kind of tap into that world. So I thought it was interesting that he said he had that dream, and, you know, he let him know that everything was cool. But, again, it was a beautiful ceremony. His mother spoke, his father spoke, beautiful people, beautiful family. The energy was good. You know, they say a lot of people came together. They had it at the Staples Center, which the last funeral at the Staples Center was Michael Jackson. And after the funeral, they did a victory lap around the city of Los Angeles and basically shut the city down. So, you know, it was a beautiful event. And a beautiful home going for Nipsey Hussle, Ermias Joseph Askedome. So, you know, love and light to the family, love and light to the friends, and to the city of Los Angeles. And, you know, the marathon continues. You dig? We gonna keep that legacy alive by trying to put in some work as our brother was doing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, y'all, this Collective Minds. And, we about to get the show started. This week we are talking about is the MGTOW movement on the rise. And give us a call, y'all. Collective Minds is not a sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And we do have a special guest on the line. Zenathon, I believe, is that how you say the name? Is he on with us?
Another one.
Brother Zen. Hello.
Brother Zen,
are you with us? Okay, well, while we wait,
there
for
we
those
go.
That don't know, there you go. How you doing, Brother
Zen? Yeah, you
had
to unmute me. I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Oh, doing well. Appreciate it. Just want to first of all thank you, you know, for sharing some of your evening with us this weekend. And like for me myself, I'm really looking to get educated on the MAGTOW movement and kind of see where this is going. Because you know, to be honest, I have little information as far as the entire movement. I've seen it pop up here and there, you know, but I'm just looking to get, you know, more information. So I just want to thank you for sharing some of your evening with us, Brother Zen.
Okay.
All right. Yep. So, yeah, I guess before we get started into the conversation, is it anything that you want the people to know about you or, you know, a small introduction you want to give about yourself before we get started?
Well, yeah, I'm Brother Zen in Zenathon. That's how you say it. You're correct. And I'm Mustafa's cousin. And I've been going through some things and some changes. And the MGTOW philosophy has really, really had a wonderful impact on my life. So that's why I'm here to share that knowledge with everybody. So,
okay.
Other than that,
yes,
yeah.
Indeed. Okay, cool. Yes, indeed. So just right off the bat, what is the MGTOW movement? Like, what does MGTOW stand for? And what does the movement, you know, actually encompass and stand for and all that?
Okay. Well, first, MGTOW is not a movement. A movement is something that is a group of people collectively trying to do something as a group together. MGTOW, which stands for men going their own way, is the pretty much the exact opposite of that, because we don't come together and we go different directions and do different things. MGTOW is more of a philosophy and a way of life, not a movement.
Gotcha.
Yes. And what it kind of boils down to, in simple terms, is a boycott to the gynocentric society in which we have find ourselves living in this present day. So the actual tenets to the main tenets to the philosophy of MGTOW, or the way to be a MGTOW, is to not cohabitate with the opposite sex, do not marry a member of the opposite sex, do not allow the government to get into your relationship with the opposite sex. That's all. That's all it is to be a MGTOW, is to not allow a member of the female persuasion to abuse you with the policies that our government has in place with us, you know, over our heads.
Okay.
All right. Why though? What is it that you guys have against, you know, females? What is the issue with women that's got you, you know, being a man going your own way?
I don't have any issues with females per se. My issue is with the government and how the government allows the female to bash brothers over the head with the law. They give females an extraordinary amount of power over a man once he's involved the government in his relationship, but once he's cohabitated. Once you cohabitate, the woman pretty much now owns whatever house that she's staying in, whether she actually owns it or not, because the government takes their side. Because of there's a word for it, and I should have wrote it down before I started, because I know that my memory shoots off at times, but there is a actual fundamental rule in place that pretty much states that men are always the aggressor and the wrong in any situation when it comes to men and women. And women are also given a social bias when it comes to how they are treated by other men. So say a woman hits a man, ain't no big thing. A man hits a woman, string him up. You know what I'm saying? Those little things like that. It sounds simple and sounds silly, but it's a detriment to your life if you're with a woman. So, but the reason, again, that men are going their own way is because they don't want to work their life, you know, work all their life and build up all their greatness, build up all their what they have. They put their blood, their sweat, their tears, their toil, their thought, their mind, their effort into their art, into their work. And then they involve a woman in their life, and that woman sticks around for a couple of years and then leaves and take half of what he's built over decades. He could have been building that 40 years by himself. He marries a woman for 5 years and has to give half of it to her and his children. And men don't want to deal with that anymore. So that's why men are going their own way.
Okay, okay. Yes, indeed. If you just joined in,
that's fair. Mr. Vins, you don't see that as a drastic move? I mean, just
to not get married?
Life, you know, well, just to become part of this way of life of men going their own way.
Men going their own way has very different. They're all different. So, just because I choose not to involve myself with a woman at all, an actual woman at all, that's my going my own way. Some men going their own way choose total abstinence. Some men going their own way still have girlfriends. They just don't cohabitate.
Okay, so you guys don't go based
off of, it's not against women.
It's just like,
yeah.
Okay, so it's not a certain. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm getting is not a set principle. But you guys, basically, the long term goal is to not become intertwined with a female. With just basically that, I guess, because the government is in.
You can be intertwined with a female.
A romantic, in a romantic way.
You can be in romantic as well, as long as you don't cohabitate or get married, because getting married involves the government, and when they cohabitate, that also involves the government, because they can just say anything they want and get you thrown out of your house. Whether you bought that house 20 years ago and you moved them in, they've been there for 2 years, they call the police and just say whatever they want to say, and you are thrown out of your house.
So basically,
and then when you get back to your house, your house could be empty.
So this is about a power. This is a way to empower men back again, to put the power back in the hands of men, basically, right?
Yes, to put the power back into men and to show that men don't want to put up with this nonsense that the government has been putting in place on behalf of women. Women are supposed to be strong and independent, powerful, but they back everything up with the threat of violence, which is the government.
Right. Now,
that's
I'm
not
glad
strong
you
and independent.
The government. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the government, because the government is mostly controlled by white men. So the policies that you're talking about have been put in place by white men. So why do you think...
Correct.
They put these policies in place to, quote, to give women the power, as you say.
There's two reasons. One, women vote for the things that they need them to vote for. Women vote in, by and large, 30% more than men, because they have more time on their hands. So by allowing women to vote and giving them the power to vote, it gives them the ability to have the swing of the votes, the voters. They have a base. The other thing is, it is a way to destroy men. Women are unwitting pawns by these white people in power, because women don't really understand what they're actually doing every time they destroy a man. All it does, every time they destroy a man, it weakens the nation and makes those powerful men more powerful, because we can't stand up against them if we're all broken down and weak and having 4 and 5 jobs so we can continue to pay alimony and child support so we can stay out of jail. Those are the only two things that you can go into jail for owing money. You owe money to the government, you can get put in jail. You owe money to a woman, you get put in jail. Those two things make men wage slaves. So if you get married and it doesn't work out, you are now a wage slave or you're going to jail. You become a criminal because you got a divorce and you lost your job.
So men
aren't trying to go through that. It weakens men. It weakens our government at its base.
So it's strategically targeting men to make you guys weaker, to weaken the nation and to make them more powerful.
Yes, because we can't stand up against them if we're too busy trying to stay out of jail. Yes.
all men.
Yes, all men of the middle class. This is a class thing. This is women being empowered is destroying our ability to populate our nation with our own indigenous people. That's why we have to bring in all these migrants. And it gives them the power base to vote in a lot of these silly policies that destroy our nation. And we can men. Men are actually, when you look into it, if you actually do some research and look into it, men are the oppressed class in our society now, not women. Men. By and large, women get paid more than men up until the age of 25. And that's only because women at the age of 25, between 25 and 30, they generally fall out of the workplace to go have a baby. And then they come back, and then they're a little bit behind because they took between a year and 5 years off. But prior to that, if you look at the stats, women actually make more money than men do in the same fields, in the same jobs.
But then let me ask you this. Wouldn't you say that that's different, though, when it comes to the elite class?
Yes, because the elite
class
aren't pressed down by the law. Yeah, they're not pressed by the law. Now, our football players and stuff are not a part of the elite class, so you see them getting caught up on them battery charges and whatnot. But when you get with those really, really wealthy families, they are they're quiet, they're reserved, and they understand what it is to be a family and the strength of it. They actually, and they don't need the government to step in and give them cash and prizes.
Right.
It was really odd when the Amazon owner went through a divorce because that really didn't make sense. But when you look at it, how it played out, that man had an empire. That man built an empire. How much do you think he was actually involved in the building of his empire? Other than taking care of his children and spending the money that he made, how on earth did she earn half of what he built? That's the government.
Anyone of y'all want to answer that? Particularly Sister Rachel? Speaking for the woman.
I mean, well, I'm just sitting here, you know, really just trying to take all of this in. You say a lot, and I wanted to say a lot back, but I can't. I just have to sit back and listen because it's just so much. And I don't even know where to start, but I guess I'm kind of like the other guy, the one guy. I'm speechless.
Do a woman deserve half of a man's stuff? Okay, we can take it back out the elite class and just come back the normal average Joe. Do that woman deserve?
Okay.
If we divorce half of my things, half of my belongings, does she belong? If I built it, if I was the one that built all that, took care of her, supported her, yeah, does she deserve? Well, I'm just breaking it down for the listeners. Does she deserve half, if not all, of my assets?
Yeah, because twice I've left with only a car. Both my divorces, I left with a car, a suitcase, and a little bit of work stuff. And I lost everything. My kids, houses, cars, everything. All the money, everything.
Yeah.
And still have to
pay the question, Mufasa. For me, I think every situation is different. So it depends. You can't make that a general policy for everybody. I think every case needs to be evaluated for what it is and the circumstances around it. I wouldn't just say it should be a set rule that should apply to everybody, but I think in some cases, no. And in some cases, yeah, I think it's okay. You know, I wouldn't say that it's okay for everybody and it works for everybody. Well, for some times and some situations, I don't see that it has to be a problem. In some cases,
right,
it could be a problem. Yeah.
But see, according to Zen, that's exactly what's happening, though. It's an all-the-time thing where these men are losing their assets, financially are losing out to these women. It's not
some of them are losing
sometimes
their freedom
it is,
and their
sometimes
lives.
It ain't.
A lot of
you
them
know?
Are losing their freedom and their lives over it as well. Pew Research shows that 70% of the divorces that are happening in America are initiated by the woman. 50% of those are just because they just don't feel like they're in love anymore. And then out of those 70% of those divorces, 50% of those men in the end, pretty much, they kill themselves because they can't deal with it. There's a, if you look at the suicide rate between men and women, the suicide between men is 7 times higher than that of women. And most of that is because of divorce and the loss of their children's respect, the loss of all their assets and all they've worked for, and then the loss of what they thought their life was about. They thought their life was about a family. They thought their life was about raising the children. They wanted to be a father. They wanted to be a husband. They wanted to be that breadwinner. But then the government allowed the woman to take all that from him, and now he has nothing, and he's fighting to stay out of jail. And he goes to jail, and he gets out, and he goes to jail, and he gets out, and he just kills himself because there's nothing else to do.
So you're speaking specifically for the man who actually wanted to be there and to be a supporter of the family, because
yes,
we all know that we have a big epidemic of men that's not in the household. A big epidemic of men that's leaving the woman, a big epidemic of men just getting them pregnant and burning out. So we realize that, I'm sure. So you just speaking for that section of men that
so
wants to be.
Just like there's a difference between the black man and the nigga, there's a difference between a man and a grown male. A lot of these males that are coming up in today's society aren't of the same material as men of the past. They're different. They've been trained in school differently. Their parents were not there because they were raised by the school. When you have both of your family, your parents working, and all you have is a school to raise you, that's indoctrination. They get all that propaganda, and they don't actually know how to be men. They don't know what it is to be a man. So you get a lot of those, and I want to say this, female acting men. They're just grown males. They're grown boys. They're not really men, and it's not their fault. The society has done this to us, and again, it's the elite weakening us through the policies that they're passing through the government by the women that vote them in. And again, the women are unwittingly doing this. They're just pawns, and they don't understand what they're doing. That's why I can't be mad at women.
Okay. I'm glad you said elite, because this is a difference.
Let me hop in
another government scandal.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Ken.
Yeah, okay. I would just do a quick break real quick. If you just joined us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have special guest Zen on the line. He subscribes to the MGTOW philosophy, which is men going their own way philosophy. And we're just asking the question, is this movement on the rise? You know, what's going on? What's the reason behind it and things like that? And just trying to get information on it. So give us a call if you have any questions or comments. The number is 929-477-1697. And, now, I do want to address a couple of things you said while you were going, Brother Zen. And one thing was about men being the oppressed class. Now, I would totally, totally disagree with that based on how society is structured. And we live in a, let's say, a racial apartheid system where in this particular system, the white male is at the top, the white woman is second, okay? And then you have the other different races that follow behind with the black man and a black woman being at the bottom socially in this particular society. So when you talk about classism, I also reject that as well, because we live in a system of racism, white supremacy, and race trumps money. Race trumps money. So yes, you can be black, have a lot of money. It can help you fight off a lot of things. It can help you avoid a lot of situations. But at the end of the day, your money means nothing when it comes to this system. We just look at Bill Cosby. Okay. A lot of women took him down. This man was going on being a billionaire, and he was taken down black man. Okay, we can look at, we can compare that to Jeffrey Epstein, who was also accused of sexually assaulting little girls. This man is free. He's a white male, billionaire. This man is free.
He's among the elite.
Okay, he's white. That's my point. Because him and Bill Cosby was running kind of neck and neck as far as monetary.
Bill Cosby was not among the elite. Bill Cosby was going against the elite, and that's why they took him down.
This is my point. To be amongst the elite, there's certain qualifications, and it's not it's a bloodline thing. You dig what I'm saying? We're talking about bloodlines and genealogy, and that is reserved mostly, again, for the white Anglo-Saxons, your Germans, and things of that nature. So race plays a part in this particular movement. So when I did the small amount of research that I did on the MGTOW movement, I noticed that this, they say it sprung up in like the early 2000s, maybe 2004 or something, as far as the philosophy. It's been around, some what they say, but as far as the MGTOW giving it that title, that's been around as long as the early 2000s. Now, it seems as if this sprung up out of the alt-right movement. You know, Reddit, it's a lot of stuff on Reddit and communities on Reddit and 4chan and, you know, the Red Pill movement and all these different type of things that are associated with the alt-right. So for me, that's why I see this movement as a movement, a largely white male movement. Okay, they're having issues with their women and their counterpart, and this is a largely white male movement. And when you talk about the marriage thing, again, there are things in place that can protect men from having to give up half in the event of a divorce, right? Like you got, you know, you can sign prenuptial agreements and things like that.
Prenups are useless. Prenups have been proven to be useless. They're useless because a woman can say that she had to sign them in duress. Duress is in, he wouldn't marry me unless I signed it. Therefore, she was forced to sign it. Therefore, it is now negligible. So, no, those do not work. It's
right.
Been,
well,
they've been thrown out by courts.
Chances of women,
right, that would
I mean,
be a case
I know
by case.
I'm not saying it don't. It's not,
yeah, that would be a case
by case. Every woman is not on that.
Right, that would be a case.
The only reason
right.
I know that is because it has happened. There are court records that show that that happens.
Right, that would be,
yeah,
again,
I
that's
should,
a case
I should
by case,
say,
though.
Yeah, I'm not saying it never happens, but, I mean, you got people, just like we talk about people and how they, just murder rates and stuff like that. Okay, you have a certain amount of people that pull the trigger. Everybody ain't out here shooting, and everybody ain't got guns. Yeah, you do have people that do it. So, yeah, you may have a woman that may do that, but the chance of just every single woman doing that, I just don't see it that way. It's not.
Yeah,
I definitely didn't think either one of mine would do that.
Unfortunately, I know that, and I get what y'all are saying, but I would say the percentage is largely the women do pull that trigger.
Well, you can't just go by what you say. You got to come with some evidence.
Or this wouldn't be a thing.
What do
this wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't happening.
Exactly.
The statistics say that 70% of divorces are initiated by women. 50% of those men kill themselves because the oppression is so large after the divorce, they can't handle it. They can't handle the alimony. They can't handle the child abuse. I mean, not the child abuse, but the child support. The fact that their children have been stripped from their livelihood, what they thought they stood for, is now gone. And all they do now is work their asses off to stay out of jail.
Yeah. I mean, I can do the numbers just based off, you know, living life and hearing men talk about it. You know, I always run across men who've been married and their divorce went sour for them. I don't run across women. I'm not saying that it's not out there, but I don't run across women that, you know, got the short end of the stick. 8 times out of 10, conversations I heard, it's the men got the short end of the stick. And that's based off brothers I know who the men divorced, who I speak to and worked with in society. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
And I've seen with my own two eyes a lot of men that's not even there and can be there. I've seen a lot of runaway men and I've seen that with my own eyes. And I know it's a great portion of them.
But now, wait a minute.
And my point
say,
to say that is that the reason why the reason that I threw that out there and why I brought it up even before is because if you compare the ratio from runaway fathers to fathers and real big men that want to be there, that group is a little bit smaller. Sorry to say that.
So you basically trying to say that these men who getting hit up, they deserve to get
it's
hit
a
up.
Small
you getting it.
I didn't say anything like that. You wasn't following me at all. My God, what did I say? I'm gonna have to rewind.
I'm getting a little lost at even why you brought it up.
Because the point is, it's the ratio numbers between runaway men and men and the men who he's speaking for. That group is much smaller, so we're still not talking about a high number of things that what we're discussing now as far as how the divorce goes. You know, you're still not dealing with a lot of women that's doing that in the first place. Your pool ain't even large enough because most women is single dealing with a runaway father.
So if you're dealing with a runaway man, like I said, you deserve to get hit up, right?
I'm just saying that the same point that me and Brother Kevin was trying to make earlier, that the chances of a woman you know, you getting involved in those types of divorce, you know, it's not that high. Yeah, you have women that do that, but you have women that don't do that.
Well, that's what it is. And you're only dealing with a small number of women anyway,
because the majority of the women, so that takes us down even smaller.
Right.
The majority of the women,
25 women versus 50% of 100 women is different.
Well, I'm just telling you why men are going their own way. The other reason men are going their own way is because of hashtag Me Too and Yes Means Yes, where now a woman can revoke her consent after you've already had sex because she just didn't like the sex later, and you can be charged with rape.
Okay, now. Right, now that is the thing. Now let me just say this. I'm glad you brought that up. Again, the Me Too movement has warped into a movement to convict black men. The Me Too movement is not affecting white men in the numbers that is affecting black men, even though it was started by a woman named Tarana Burke, who is a black female. This movement has been something that has been used to go after the black male, which has been done in this country for centuries, and he's been called the rapist and the aggressive. There was a young man recently who had a case. I believe his name is what's my brother's name? Alden Smith or something Smith. He was a college student in Kansas, went to a bar, you know, kissed a white girl. She said she didn't consent, and this young man got 12 years in prison. The DNA evidence said they did not have sex. Okay, that's on the record. Again, the DNA evidence said they did not have sex, and this young man has gotten 12 years in prison for kissing a white girl. So when you talk about the Me Too movement, this is why I'm saying this particular movement, this MGTOW movement, is just an alt-right offshoot, but it has nothing to do with black society, with black men, because we know that in this society, the black male is the main target, period.
So you're saying, Brother Kev, so let me get this right. So you're saying the MGTOW movement, just for clarity, you acknowledging that it's started by an all right white society, right? That's what you're saying. And
from
you're saying that,
say,
that
yeah.
and you saying that it does not affect black society. So there are no black men going their own way. There's no need for
the
black
man. I didn't say that. I don't. I'm not going to generalize and say no. There's no black men going their own way. Yes, there's a lot of black men doing a lot of things, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as far as taking on this moniker, as far as men going their own way, I don't see a large portion of black men going that way from, you know, the people I know and I'm around, and just by the small amount of research that I've done online, there's not a lot. There may be some, but there's not a lot.
Most of the black men don't even get married, though.
Yeah, but the MGTOW itself is a very, very small group of people. Only about 5% of Americans.
So then
MGTOW.
Again, that takes,
and out
that
of
takes
that,
the numbers.
And out of that, I know, and out of that, if you just go by how many white people there are against how many black people there are in America, yes, there's going to be a lot less black people in the MGTOW following the fake MGTOW tenants than white people, because there's a lot more white people in America than black people.
Right.
And it's only a very small amount of men who understand what's going on and have the will, have the power within themselves to self-actualize and walk away from the call of the vagina.
Well, that's
and a lot of black men in our, even without that movement, you got black men. You can't say we don't have an issue as far as even getting married, and like Sister Roger said, even being in the family. So by default, black men already been going their way. they ain't been there for the family. They've been going their own way.
Let me clear something up. I didn't say anything
about
race.
The black man has not been. They haven't been going their own way. They've been running away.
Yeah, they running away.
So why are they running away?
But
that's
I didn't
thing.
Say
why
that.
Why are they running away? Why are all the men running away from women now, having babies with them and then running away?
Yes,
is there something wrong with the women? Is there something wrong with the women that's chasing these men away?
Or is it the men? What is?
Well, it's the men that's running.
Why are they running?
Why are they running?
You have to ask the runaway men. Every situation is different. Like I said, there's no telling why. You have to ask the runaway.
I'm gonna come with exactly, and I'm gonna come with receipts on this. Okay. Now, this is according to a study done by Yale University, who's somewhat respected. This is an article from CNN, and it says 42% of black women are married. Okay. 42%, so that's a little less than half.
Who did this? Wait a minute, who did this?
CNN.
Yale University
CNN did
study.
This.
A Yale University study found that 42% of black women are married.
I wonder where did they get this survey from? I guess they was doing the Census Bureau or whatnot. Because in my neighborhood, I know way more of single black women than I know married black women.
Okay, now I know.
That 42% is an exaggerated number.
Now, you can't say that without backing it up with some other information.
Well, no, they could
like,
be.
That's how you
they
feel.
They could be married, but not together.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they could be married, but not together, because I'm going through my second divorce, but we're still married, but we're not together.
And look, check this out. Here go another one. In 2008, 76% of black men with a college degree were married by age 40.
Oh, yeah. Yes, college definitely does make a difference. Having an education makes
and
a man 60, want to have a family.
63% of black men with just a high school diploma got married.
What year was this?
This study was done in 2008. Okay.
What's that percentage now?
So there's a lot of myths going on as far as black people because the people I'm around, like I
want to know how many of those people are still married today.
Okay, I mean that could be one thing, but
90%
again, when it comes to black people, I know a lot of black people that are married. You see what I'm saying? Now, as far as the MGTOW movement, the only thing I would give them without bashing the whole thing is I do understand the marriage part as far as getting the government involved in your affairs with your mate. So I do understand that part, you know, as far as the government getting involved in them. Basically, that marriage certificate is a contract that's a third. The government is the third party, so if anything happens, you got to pay out lawyer fees and pay to actually, you know, get out of that particular contract. So I do understand that perspective to a degree. But everything else as far as giving up on the woman, because my thing is, you can't give up on a woman. That's the purpose of life. Like, we come through the woman and we're trying to get back to the woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as a man goes, a man, how in the world are you able to give up on a woman? And I understand Zen's situation may be a little different because he's already been married and had kids and done all that. But for a young person, being a MGTOW, that is a serious problem because you haven't had time to to even engage with the woman and figure out things.
What's happened to all the older men around him. He's seen what happened to all the people around him. He understands what the risk is and what may happen to him, so he decides not to.
I know we got to get to the call lines. Let me add this to that, though. See, that's one of the reasons why, like, you know, and I agree with Zen, the young men are not going out and getting married. That's another reason why Roger said men is, you know, running away. Black men, white men, if we just want to talk about black men, that's cool too, are not young and getting married like they used to. That's not happening. There are plenty of single women out here that are not getting married. And like these men, they already, that's why I say by default, they went their own way. Because they just sleeping with the chick and they not getting tied down with one female. How many young people do you know in their 20s, young black people, that's getting married? Because I don't see it. I see a lot of young black single people that's just sleeping around and doing their thing. That's basically going your own way. The same thing. They not getting committed. They not getting tied down with one woman. They not getting tied up legally. They not getting married, and they staying, you know, promiscuous.
Well, I think most people, because if you talk about
it,
age,
is what it is.
Most people are getting married after their 30s. I don't think any group, white or black, a lot of them are getting married in their 20s. Now, when you talk about,
I got married
30s,
in my 20s. And I got married again in my 30s to a woman who was still in her 20s.
Yeah, I got a young man I work with, got married in his 20s.
Yeah,
he's a white dude,
though. But I'm saying we're talking about the numbers, though. You know.
Let me run this one by you. I worked at a place where it was 90% black people. And as far as men being married, there may have been three elders. Now,
elders.
I work now is white people. And I'm just going to talk about my immediate group of white people that I'm working with. Of seven of us, five are married. One is just fresh out of divorce. The other one was divorced, and he's a man going his own way. Why is it?
Okay, now I just want to bring some stats real quick, and if you just joined us, family, we're talking about the MGTOW movement going our own way. Right, you're talking about personal situations. I'm trying to do overall numbers because we can all pick and choose, because the majority of black people that I know are married. So we could talk about that. You see what I'm saying? But I just wanted to clarify as far as the ages that people are getting married according to the Census Bureau. And this is from 2017, and it says women, the average age for a woman getting married is 27.4 years. For men, it's 29.5 years. Those are the average ages that women and men are getting married, according to the Census Bureau of 2017. So I just wanted to put that out there, because we can talk about individual, you know, who we know in our small pool of people, but it's always important to look at the larger numbers to get, you know, a feel of what's going on within a particular society, because our small little sample size doesn't tell what's going on in the larger society.
But that's a reflection of the whole.
Say that again.
But that's a reflection of the whole society, though.
No, not your particular small sample size. No, that's not. You're talking about people where you work at. That's not a large enough sample size to say that that represents the entire society.
That's up for debate.
No, that's not up for debate. You're particular. You don't know enough people. There's 320 million people in America. You can't just say the 50 or 20 people that you know represents the entire society. That's not how that works.
All right, we'll get to that. Let's check with the callers, though. Let's see what the callers talking about.
All right. Roger.
Okay. We'll go with caller 319-572. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I just got a couple of comments. First of all, and I just like you guys to hear me out. Don't interrupt me. I don't want to stutter. First of all, men run because the women turn out to be crazy. Because women have a mentality where they think they can say whatever they want to you, and you better not say nothing back, or you will go to the jail. I know this from experience, because I was in a relationship with a woman who thought she could say whatever she wanted, and as soon as I said something back, she called the police. So I ran, because it's either run or go to jail. And then the child support system is set up to where if you fall behind on your child support, they'll try to take your license. Now that makes it harder for the man to go to work. Now I understand you made this child. I never complained about my child support because I made them. I'm being a man. But when you start falling behind, now you're starting to tell them I'm taking my license, or you done took my license. Now you're making it harder for me to go to work. Now I'm having a harder time getting to work, so I get fired. Now they got fired because I'm having a hard time getting to work, being dependable. Now I got to go to jail because I can't pay the child support. And also my experience is sometimes women can be very deceitful. But I'm one of those who believe that they have to have their spot, and I have my spot. No cohabitation. So if there's any argument, I have a place to go lay my head. And or she with me, I can say it's time for you to go home, or it's time for me to go home. And it works out well like that. And that's all I got to say.
So you rather
indeed.
Do it
Thank
that way
Tom.
Than run the risk of. To run the risk of if she's living with you, then the police are called.
You already know
you out the door.
Okay, you got your apartment. She moved in there. All of a sudden, you get an argument. You got to leave your residence or your house, and you cannot come back to your house.
Yeah.
You cannot come back to your house. You come back to the house that you own. Now, her name ain't nowhere on it. But you come back to that residence, you're going to go to jail.
Right.
So that's what he means by they can take your home. They can take your vehicles, too.
Mm-hmm.
They can make it to where you come get your car, you're going to go to jail.
Okay.
And everything is set up where a woman can take your kid, and you'd be lucky if you ever see your kid again. Even if you try, you might go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all personal experience.
Right.
Now, I would say this too, because the man also has the right to joint custody, because like I say, it depends on a case by case basis.
But it also depends on what the woman said about you to these people when you weren't around. Because a woman can make you sound so pitiful. It's like the instance. You heard the saying deadbeat dad. How many times have you heard the saying deadbeat mom?
Have you ever had any experience with the family courts? Have you had any personal experience with the family courts?
Yes, I have.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Kev. Kev there. That's, you know, saying that what we're saying ain't quite right. Okay.
I have
until
not.
Until you actually have to go into clown court, which is the family court, because it's not really a court, it's an executive posting. It's not a real court. All it is a way for the executive. It's an executive system set up to remove assets from the person that has money and give a portion of it to the government and the rest to the woman to weaken the man. So it's not even a real court. Check out Osiris. I'm in Osiris, and he'll tell you exactly what that is. It's not a court. The family court is not really a court, and it's not designed for fairness. It's designed to pull the money and the resources from whoever they can pull the most of it from.
Right. I don't dispute that.
And that's what it is. That's all it's about.
There is
no fairness in how they divide up the joint custody thing you said. Shit. I thought I was going to get some joint custody. I get to talk to my son 1 hour a day on three specific days of the week at a very specific time. That's all I get of my son. That's called joint custody.
So you're telling me there's no cases where the two parents who have divorced have gotten joint custody.
She can still snatch those hours away.
They come out what you're saying, Kev. But those cases, the man generally spends about $40,000 to $400,000 for that. The woman, she can get a lawyer for like $2,000 and have everything done for her, and everything goes her way. A man, I had to spend $17,500 just to get a decent outcome.
Yeah.
And when I told the lawyer what I wanted, he said that's going to be about $40,000.
Hey, real quick,
because he has to pay the court.
Appreciate you calling in, Carla.
Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, y'all, we have a special guest, Brother Zen, in the building. We are talking about the men going their own way philosophy. You know, where did it come from? When did it start? And things of that nature. And what's the whole reason behind the movement? Give us a call if you're still on the line. The number is 929-477-1697. Did you want to say something, Brother Mufasa? You have a question?
I was just thanking the caller so we can get to the next one, because I know we're getting long time. But, you know, I had my personal run-in with the courts as well, so I know what the brothers is talking about. It's just mighty peculiar that for me or men, when they trying to fight for their children, we got to spend buku amounts of money, and the woman don't have to do the same. She don't have to do the same. She's not held to that standard. You know, she don't have to go through all that, but the man has to come up with all types of money, especially like you're talking about joint custody. That's expensive. I did my research on that. That's not an easy thing to do.
I like to mention
financially, and I mean financially. Financially, that's not an easy thing to do.
Right. For that $40,000 to give the lawyer, so they can wash the hands of the court to get the settlement that you want.
I hate you guys, you know, have that experience, you know, that is, you know, if whatever the ruling of the outcome is, if it's just not fair, it's always unfortunate, you know. So if for you guys and any other, you know, people out there who have had unfair rulings. You know, yeah, that's never good. You know, it's not a good thing. So I'm not condoning anything that's unfair. You know, but I would like to just kind of throw something out there, because we talk a lot about male roles and female roles. And anybody can correct me if I'm wrong on this tone, but I really thought that we was all on the same page when we, as far as the views of the male role, you know, the head of the household, the financial provider, where the woman have the feminine role. She takes care of the children. So in that sense, you have to realize that if the man is the provider, then that's where the money is. And I understand the unfairness that you guys experience, and I hate that, but it seems like if we acknowledge that there's a government that is just, you know, it's like another government scandal where they just, you know, get money, and they're going to go where the money. Unfortunately, if that's the man role, the majority of the men will have that.
What,
so
yeah, and that's why some of these women
like
know that.
So going off
not,
of.
Some of these women know that. Some of these women know that.
Well,
and they going to pray for that. That's the sad. That's the
yeah,
the wicked thing about it is these women realize it.
So going off of what you said, Rigel, when you were talking about the household where the man is supposed to be the head of the household, you know, he's generally the breadwinner of the household. The big mm-hmm. thing with MGTOW and why men are going their own way is another reason is because men no longer have the authority inside of a household. They don't have the authority. They have all the responsibility of the family. They have all the responsibility of the household. Everything that happens in it is on them, but they have no authority over what goes on in the household. They can't tell their wife to do anything. They can't chastise their children, because the wife will just call the police on them. The wife will just do everything to just get in the way of a man being a parent and a man being the husband trying to maintain the household that he's supposed to be responsible for.
So
it's not a good situation to be in. Yes. It's not a good situation to be in to have all the responsibility and no authority over how that responsibility is meted out.
So the government is raising and breeding a certain type of woman to go against the man, basically, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the average.
Because it's
the
still
average woman, yes.
Because it still, you know, depends on the two individuals, because every woman don't feel that way.
Correct.
You know, you have some women that do understand, you know,
yes.
And
there's a small percent of women that do. Yes. Yes, the older women who are of a different generation that were raised differently, yes, and then women that tend to have more of a male style brain. But 80% of women fall into the category that we're discussing right now, because they're average women, just average women.
Okay, well, thanks. Let's move on to the next caller real fast. Let's go to area code 314-381. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, Kevin, according to black demographics on marital status rather than Harvard, you got 26% of black women that are married, 32% of black males, African American men that's married. And I think you mentioned 48% or 46%, but they say 48%. This is the latest in 2016. But something that's interesting is that where are the black men with jobs? In the large metropolitan area, for every 100 black women with full-time employment, you have 167 black males, whereas on the bottom five in St. Louis, for every 100 black women with full-time employment, you only have 78 black men with full-time employment. So that's very interesting. But I can't talk very much on this issue. I married my 10-year-old neighborhood sweetheart. And when she moved out of her, it would have been a different marriage, but the fact that we were married, knowing each other so long. She moved out of her house, her mama's house. She moved into a house, fully furnished, and she never had to work. So I hardly ever knew anybody that wasn't married. So times are different, I imagine.
Yeah.
And my grandson, I told him, I hope you don't marry no African-American, black American woman. Because,
wow.
From what I see, I don't see any that would fit the bill. I told him, you need to go to West Africa, take you out in the bush and find a wife.
Can you explain that? Can you break that down, the difference between the two types of women?
The bill? Right, what's fitting the bill?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What's the difference between the two types of women?
If you marry a sibling in my family, you're going to sign some papers. That's just protocol.
What kind
just
of
my
sibling?
Family
male
now.
Sibling? Female sibling?
If you marry my daughter,
mean?
If you marry my daughter, or you marry any of the males in my family, that's what you're going to have to do, a person's going to have to do. I background checked the men, the males that my daughter dated, and surely the ones that she married. Now, that was me. Now, everybody don't do that way. I know of another couple that does that, but everybody don't do that way. I think it's a good thing. But, no, I don't see any. Did you see that video where
the school bus?
Well, let me tell you. You see that video. You see the video in St. Louis where the mother pulled
Now, we don't want to get off topic. Yeah,
I'm
going to
show you the bill. That's the type. That's not fitting the bill.
And she doesn't represent black women. So what are you talking about?
No.
I don't get what you're saying.
Okay, that's not fitting the bill. What is fitting the bill?
What's fitting the bill? Well, a woman that came from a two-parent home, for one thing, that's educated, well-educated, another thing, and starting off with just those two.
Okay.
And also have a culture perspective also. I'm married to a Ghanaian lady from the Volta region.
Black women.
What about when it comes to raising the kids?
They don't. That's why I come. You know. That's why I come. The when you say that you have this portion number of black males, you got 32% of marital black males that's married, compared to 26%. But when you come down, you got black males marrying white women, like almost up to 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
How many black men and women have married out in 2017? You got 409,000 black males that have white spouses.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. No.
This is black Wait a minute. Hang on. This is black demographics website. Go to it right now.
I'm on that.
I would like to say this.
Black demographics website. The African American population. Black demographic website, blackdemographics.com, households, marriage in black America. Read it.
Okay, now let
you
me
there?
Say this while he's pulling it up. Yeah, he's there,
I'm on it.
Come down to about
the third picture, and it says black intermarriage, interracial marriage. Have a white spouse. 409,000 in the blue is what? It's what? Black men. So you said it was not true. Is it true according to them?
According to this, yes, that is true. I get it. I have no problem with that. Again, now, there's 40 million black people. So what percentage
look,
is that?
Hang on, Kevin. Wait a minute. Go up to the top. Hang on for a second.
That's not even
it says African-American age 15 and up in marital.
I see.
So you saying it's
29%. 29% of all African
Americans. A 5-year-old kid ain't gonna be getting married.
Of course.
Well, you include them in that 49%. The number of black Americans.
And you already cut out half of it because they're female. You got to cut out half of that number automatically because they're female, and then you got to break down, like Mr. Pianchi is saying, that the ones that are below marriage level of age.
Yeah, you know, it's 19,600,000 blacks that's above 18 years of age here in this country. 19.6 million. It may be more than that now, but that's what it was last time I checked.
Right. What I'm telling you is that 409,000 that have a white spouse, that's a small percentage compared to the larger population, even over 18. So that's what I'm telling you.
Well, it says right there, right here on the thing, what does it say? White spouse, 9%. That's 9% have white spouses.
Exactly. My point, less than 10%. This is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, but
so
when
that's
you go
null
back,
and void.
When you,
like, what is it?
When you it's not null and void. When you go up and say that you have 32% yes. of black males are married compared to 26% of black females are married, then you got to say the difference between that 32 and 26 is 6%. The 6% of black males that's not marrying black females is marrying who? White females.
Hey, let me ask a question. Let me ask one question to the guest.
Yeah.
I mean to the caller. Now, Mr. Pionk, you say you got how many daughters do you have?
I got daughters.
Okay, so you got several daughters. What mm-hmm. about granddaughters? You got several granddaughters.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is, what's the percentage of your daughters that are married? And
they
then
all
when
married.
You look at this, okay, now
except
all
for my
of them
oldest
are married.
Daughter, her husband, she lost her husband in an accident, but she's planning on getting married again, I think.
Okay, now are all of their friends, their friends, did all their friends get married?
You know what? I could not. Well, I tell you what. And yes, I would. The majority of them did get married. On that, you know, Luther Burton, that Trey Burton that's playing for Cardinal Ritter, he's in the family. Yeah.
Okay.
Now look at this. Check this out. Now, if you go down further on that site, there's a graph that says black women are more likely to be married than white women. Until 1970, then something happened. So when we talk about black and white, we know how this society is. We know what happened around the 70s, and we know how they changed the trajectory of the black male and black woman getting married. So let's not act like we're
well,
not
you know, other people say that when an employer hired a black woman, they got two. They got a female and a black. So, you know, I've heard a lot of reasons why that is. And, you know, some
right.
of the things that you see here is contributed to that. It's true. But, you know, those things don't have to necessarily happen, but they do happen. If you got a functional family and you maintain that functionality, then
right.
your likelihood of you having a strong family. Like I say, in the community I grew up with, I only knew one woman that wasn't married. Her name was Bernadette. And when the
right.
mailman delivered the mail, he seen me, stayed there at that door longer than he did the other doors.
Yeah, well, I can give you some congratulations because I'm shocked to hear that the majority of, you know, your daughters and the grandkids are married because I don't see a lot of that in today's times.
Well, it depends on where you are.
That don't shock me. Exactly. That doesn't shock me because the majority of black people that I know are either married or have been married. And that's a fact. I say over 25. The majority
and you know,
that
but
I don't
also, Mr. Piaki and his family are of the black group and not the nigger group. There's a difference.
But hang on for a second. One of the reasons why, because my siblings know damn well that I don't put up with that sleeping
yes.
and hanging and stuff. You know, you're going to get married. You leave the house. Once we say that it's okay for you to marry this person, then because she had a couple that I said no, well, we done some checks on the family. But once we, well, they're going to have to be able to take care of you and do the right thing. I mean, if they don't, what's going to happen to your daughter? Your daughter going to come back home with trash bags full of clothes and dragging babies, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right, y'all. We down to like the last 15 minutes. Thank you.
All right, I'm
gonna
let y'all go.
Every week. We appreciate it. Now, I do want to ask Zen one last question about the MGTOW movement. Okay, if MGTOW is men going their own way, and let's say you have a young man who hasn't gotten married, who hasn't had a chance to procreate and have kids, where exactly is he going? Like, where are these men going, per se, if they're going their own way and not cohabitating with women? What are they doing with themselves?
They're working on building their resources and preparing for the fall that's to come. Once the fall comes and the government is no longer a problem, then the dynamics of men and women in their relationships will go back to their natural order. And that's when these young men, after they've already gathered and prepared, can start gaining women again. That's what's happening with these younger men that are understanding what's at stake here. They can become a slave to a woman and the state, or they can prepare for when the state falls, which is going to be within the next 7 to 10 years. And when everything goes back to its natural order, they'll be on top, and they'll be able to get the women that they want to get because they have the resources.
Got you, got you. Now, this the way, just to wrap, you know, my thoughts up real quick, but I think this has been an interesting topic. Now, when we talk about this movement, it's like, do we want to be the men, as Rigel stated? Are we the providers and the protectors of these women who, in fact, carry our seed in the gestation period and give birth to all of us? So I think that may be one reason why it's a little more favorable to side with a woman, considering the fact that she does bring the life into this world. So are we the men? Do we want to trade places with the women and get those type of concessions? Because look at this. Jeff Bezos, who's the man over Amazon, he got a divorce. And he gave his wife like 30-something billion dollars during a divorce. Now, 30-something billion, not million, billion with the B, just for being married to this woman, right?
He didn't give it to her, though.
Now,
he took it through the courts.
Well, however you want to be, she was awarded that amount of money just for being married to this man.
She was awarded just for being married.
The thing is, he was the man who provided and set up that type of lifestyle for her. So when they got a divorce, he had to give her that amount of money because
he
was a provider. Well, according to the courts, he had to give her that amount of money.
If she didn't want to be with him, she should have just walked away from him and did whatever she was going to do with her life afterwards.
Right, but
why does he have to pay her?
Family.
Why does he have to pay her to go away? If she wants to leave, she can leave with what she came with.
Well, I mean, of course.
If you say men stay in love, that doesn't sound like a loving man.
But if
he a billionaire, what's wrong with him? A woman that he loved, the relationship didn't work out. Like I did say earlier already, that each situation depends. So if she wasn't doing anything, say they just both decided that, hey, we just grew apart. It wasn't that somebody was necessarily mean to the other one or did something bad towards another one. Maybe they just decided, hey, we gave it a shot. People change.
Now I want half the stuff that you gathered so I can go off.
My point with bringing that up is I haven't heard Jeff Bezos talk about MGTOW and giving up on women and going his own way because he had to, you know, pay out that large amount of money.
You watch him and see if he ever gets married again.
Now, that may be true. Now, I don't know. That may be true, may not be true, but he still – from what I see, he's been out dating and so on and so forth. But he hasn't given up on women, and I think we have to understand.
There's a difference
between
dating and cohabitating and marrying them. You can date women all day long. I'm talking about cohabitating and marrying them and allowing the government to get involved so that they can do you the way they did Mr. Bezos.
Right, and cohabitating is part of again, that's part of the companionship and part of the necessary, that's a necessary element of life to me, in my opinion. I ain't going to say that for everybody.
Not really, because there's a lot of babies being born without cohabitation happening. There's a lot of babies being born without cohabitation happening.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Because you, go ahead.
Then I have a question. So how do you feel in the scenario where, which we have a lot of these cases as well, where the man cheated on the wife, and we know that that is grounds for divorce, if the woman so chooses.
It is.
So what in that case, do you think the lady still should just walk away as she came? Just out of curiosity, I'm not judging it either way. I just want to know how you feel.
Yeah, she should get awarded something to start her new life with. She should get awarded something to start her new life with. But if she didn't build the actual, or she didn't actually gather those resources, then no, she shouldn't get a whole bunch of stuff, the half of his stuff. Because obviously she wasn't doing it for him to go off and cheat. Or he was just an
asshole. Obviously she was.
And still, just because he was an asshole doesn't mean he has to lose all of his resources. That's pretty much the thing. We're going to destroy your entire life because you cheated on this woman. But a woman can cheat on a man and then file for divorce, and a man doesn't get half her stuff when they leave. No, she still gets half of his stuff when she leaves. Even if she cheats, she gets half of his stuff when she leaves.
Right, but really? If a marriage is a union, what role does the woman play in being with
that
person?
It is no longer a union. It is no longer a union. Now it's a government contract. It's a corporate contract to ruin a man. It is no longer a union because the man has no authority. If it was a union, then the man would have authority. A man has no authority in his household. Therefore, it is no longer a union. It is a contract set up by the government to ruin the individual with the most money in the end.
Right. Now, I don't agree
with
that.
Which is generally
the
man.
I'm married, and I have authority over my household. So that's why a lot of this.
You're allowed to think that you do, because the minute your spouse decides that she doesn't like what you did, she can pick up that phone and dial three numbers, and you're out.
It won't be that easy. I mean, it's just
it will be that easy.
You know,
three numbers: 911, and you are out.
And you're
and
out.
You're out.
Oh, hilarious! Hilarious. So what? Explain it. Authority, though. You mean if explain like. You got to break
that
down.
Authority such as your child is not obeying you.
Right.
You tell that child that they need to do this, that, or another. And then the woman steps in and says, don't talk to him like that. And you're like, no, woman, he needs to be talked to like that because it's not working. And if he doesn't do what I'm about to say, he's about to get a spanking. No, you ain't going to spank my child. No, it's my child too. No, it's my child.
That's not happening. See, I don't have that issue, right.
That's authority. And then the minute you try to tell her that she needs to chill so you can deal with your child as a father of that child,
right.
Out comes the phone and the finger hovers over that 9. you make another step, that 9 is pushed and it starts hovering over a 1.
Right.
That's that loaded gun that they have over you. You have no authority because anytime they can dial three numbers and ruin everything for you. So you have no authority. And the woman has all the power in that cell phone, because the government will come and take you out of your house and take all your stuff and give it to her.
So basically, the man got the authority until the woman say, "All right, that's enough of that."
Yep.
I'm gonna let you run it until I'm tired of you running it.
Until you hurt my
feelings.
That's what you're
saying. That's what you're
saying. Something comes up. Yes, and then she just changes her mind. She falls out of love. You ain't bringing enough money home anymore. You didn't buy her flowers on Mother's Day. Something like that.
Okay.
So what
all
you
right,
think,
right.
Brother Zink? Is this going away? Do you think this MGTOW movement is going away anytime soon? Or you think it's going to continue to grow?
It's building steam.
Okay. Once again, what I predict is It may be building steam in the alt-right white community world, but no, I don't think it's growing in the black society, in black society. I don't see it. But, you know, I guess there's more to come with that. We have to wait and see what the future entails. But I think this is a largely, and this has happened over history. If we look at it, the white male has had an issue with the white woman for a long time, going back to the feminist days and that movement and all type of things. So they've always had an issue with each other. And they've kind of spread it down to the black community where black male and black female has an issue. So because they run society, a lot of things do trickle down. But I don't see this movement growing in the black community myself. You dig? So that's just me.
Well, I give my quick analogy. I think it is going to grow based off of the type of society we live in where already you got people into the, you know, I, me state of mind. So based off of that alone, you know, with social media, people can create their own little world around them, and everybody wants see total control over their lives anyway. So just on that note alone, I see more men seeing this as an option, like, well, hey, I can take over my life. I don't have to be worried about getting in any type of trouble with a woman. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to continue to go my own way and keep the power in my hands fully. Why roll the dice and risk hooking up with some chick and I could possibly, you know, give her the power to take my resources, my money away from me? So that's how I look at it in a nutshell. You know, I would like to break that down more, but that's how I'm looking at it, because everybody already in a selfish state of mind anyway, and that's only getting worse as time goes on.
All right. Yes, indeed. We down, Raju. We down the last 4 minutes. You want to get your last thoughts on the MGTOW movement, MGTOW?
Yeah. It's still wild, you know, what I said earlier. Each place is different. You know, so if somebody is being unfair, or, you know, if it's lopsided, if the scale is tipped too much on one side, then it's unfair. You know, I'm okay to acknowledge that. So if you have experienced an unfair situation, and it's not good, and I can understand why a person would want to try to change that if they was, you know, unfair. I don't think it goes that way every time, though, but I guess that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the times that it is unfair. So I just think, since every situation is different, I don't want to just make general statements. And that's why, as far as the group thing, I will kind of back off of participating in the group. There's some practices you can adopt. But to just be in a group, it's almost like you're just, you know, trying to say that this is how it is all the time, when it still depends on the individual, because every young lady is not out here saying that, you know, I'm just waiting on him to trip so I can dial 911 and you're out. You know, in some cases, it's, you know, you have genuine relationships where both parties are in love. You know, but I wish everybody well. I'm glad you called in, glad you tuned in. Thank you to our special guest, Ben. And
yes,
we look forward
Thank
to
you.
Another show next week. So tune in. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. Email us with any show ideas that you may have. And look forward to another show for next week. Tune in next Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Standard
yes,
Time.
Indeed.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn up. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's on or a new point. Calling with your viewpoint compared to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings.
get into some things. Deep going deeper, breaking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks
talking. Like